Now the Alter Rebbe continues. Afalpikein. Nonetheless. Nikran, afopike, nonetheless, nikre yirzu yirichitzaynes v'tata. This fear is called an external and a lower fear. And this is quite interesting. One can contemplate and appreciate the greatness of Hashem, not just from the fact that He fills and creates the physical world, but even the appreciating the highest spiritual worlds. And appreciating that you're living in the presence of such a God, that fear is called inferior and external. Why? Since it is derived from the worlds. Shehim levushim shel hamelech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which they are garments of the King, the Holy One, blessed be He. Asher mistater umisalim umislabish behem, who conceals and hides and clothes Himself in them, in these garments, lachayos amolakayma, to animate them and to give them existence, liyos yesh meyayin v'chuli, so that they may exist ex nihilo, something from nothing. This awe is a very deep level, but the Alter Rebbe says it's not the real thing. You come to perceive the grandeur of Hashem via the world. When one stands face to face with the marvel, with the presence, when one stands face to face with our world, one marvels and is just awed by its sheer awesomeness, by its magnitude, on any level, whichever level you appreciate. One comes to appreciate the greatness of Hashem, and it does something to you. That grandeur, being in the presence of such grandeur, it just inculcates in you a certain sense, a certain... You don't take your ego so seriously. You know, you become a diminished person in a positive sense. But here you're perceiving the grandeur of Hashem how? Via the worlds that He creates. When you look at the worlds, you look at the garments, and you see what these garments represent, it tells you something about the greatness of Hashem. So you experience Him via the garments in which He's hidden, the Alter Rebbe said, in which He's actually concealed. There is no experience or appreciation of Hashem's intimate self, internal self, truer identity. His entire presence is experienced via the garments, via the universe and the universes, in which He is actually concealed and compressed and hidden. He uses three terms, which we explained in chapter 38, we also use these three terms. And the reason He conceals Himself is to bring them into existence, that from nothing they should become something. He needs to conceal His presence within their identity so that they should assume an identity. And therefore, the awe that comes from this appreciation is not the real Yira of Hashem. This is a Yira of a God that's experienced via His cosmos. It's an awesome God. Totally incomprehensible. It totally blows a person away. It reduces you in a very powerful and deep way. But it's not real Yiras. It's not the real level of Yiras Hashem. Then there is what we call Yiri Law, a higher level of awe, which is totally of a different category. And this was the level of awe that was experienced by the true great giants of Jewish spirituality. For example, the Mittler Rebbe, the son of the Alter Rebbe, writes in the Sefer Torah Chaim that the Yira of the Baal Shem Tov resembled the Yira that Mashiach is going to have. Now this level of Yira is a totally different level of awe. It's not that I am in the presence of greatness and in that presence you lose your presence, you lose your identity. It's of a different level. which the Alter Rebbe will explain in the continuation of the chapter, what this is. So the Alter Rebbe says, so this level of all, since it comes from the worlds, it's external and it's lower. It's just that this sphere serves as the gateway and the entrance to the performance of Torah and Mitzvahs. And therefore, on this level of our sages said, there's no war, there's no wisdom, because this is the entrance way to Torah and Mitzvahs. It's explained in many places in Chazal, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Laman Aleph, other places, that Yiras Shamayim is the portal, it's the gate, it's the key, as the Gemara puts it there in Shabbos. Or he says it's the door through which you can really observe Torah and observe mitzvahs. Without this basic level of awe, either the katnus one or the godless one, the small level or the greater level, Torah and mitzvahs will not happen in your life in a serious way. I mean, flashes of it might occur, but a real life of Torah and mitzvahs needs to have some level of yira. Preview. Well, that's what he discussed till now. So it's a foundation, but it's called an external law, and it's called a lower law. Yira Chitzonis and Yira Tata.
The katnus of the Yira?
No. The katnus and the godless of the Yira are both going still to the category of external Yira, which is called Yira Tata. And this level of Yira Tata is what the Alter Rebbe meant when he spoke earlier in chapter 42, that every Jew possesses in the depth of his consciousness an oitzer of Yerushalayim, a treasure of Yerushalayim, a fear of heaven. Just you have to dig and plow in order to expose that treasure. How? Through meditation and contemplation. What is this treasure of Yerushalayim that we have in our hearts? Yerutata. At the depth of the Jew's heart, he's fearful, he has an awe of Hashem being in Hashem's presence. And by meditation and contemplation on the truths of Hashem's reality and His presence in the world, one, the Alter Rebbe said, could come to know in a very realistic and sincere way that Hashem is here. And that knowledge will reveal that innate sense of Yerushalayim. And that knowledge will elicit a certain sense of awe as a result of Hashem being here. Furthermore, that contemplation can elicit a year of godless, not just a fear because He's looking at me, but a fear because of being in the presence of greatness. But now the Alter Rebbe says, all this is still called an external year and a year tata. And till now we come along to discuss a higher level of awe. Since awe is connected to the acceptance of a yoke, so miraculously, I will accept the yoke of time and finish on time this evening. And we'll continue with the higher level of awe next week, because it's already a whole other category and level that needs an independent meditation and discussion. I'll just conclude with the following story that I think expresses the godless, the year of godless. I mentioned before the Seer of Lublin, the Chayza of Lublin, and once the Magid of Mizrich, needed a tenth for his minion. The Magid, the great Magid, the mentor of the Alter Rebbe, used to daven with a minyan every day, but it was a small minyan of the most distinguished of his students. And not everybody was allowed into that minyan. Once, they only had 9. The 10th was missing. The 10th man was missing. And the Seer of Lublin was one of the youngest students who came there. So he was never allowed into the minyan of the Magid. But he was always in close proximity to the minyan. So when they were missing a tenth, they summoned him to the room. They summoned him into the room. The Maggid took a look at him and said, "Vasati gedavt bring in der batlan. Why do you have to bring in this batlan?" I don't know how to translate a batlan in English. Huh?
Like a jester.
Not really. No. More like, no, maybe more like a shlamazel, something of that nature. Not really, but something of the nature
hang
of a shlamazel.
Yeah.
What?
A loafer.
Everybody was surprised on that comment, but they davened, and. And then finally, after close to the end of davening, they came to Ein Kelekeinu, there's no one like our God. Ein Kadineinu, there's no one like our Master. Ein Kamalkeinu, there's no one like our King. And right when the Maggid started to say Ein Kelekeinu, the seer of Lublin passed out. He fainted. So the Maggid turned to them and he said, "I told you shouldn't bring in this batlan. You had to bring in somebody who doesn't see. Now, what did he mean? The seer of Lublin saw. He's actually called a seer, right? His uniqueness was the fact that he saw. Right when they said Ein Kelekeinu, he saw what he saw and he fainted. As the Maggid said, you had to bring in somebody who doesn't see you. We have no problem. We say for 70, 80, 90, 100 years, we could say from Matavu to Elena, and we never faint. It's not a problem. You could say Ein Kelekeinu 200 times. There's no fear that anybody's going to faint. But what did he faint? If Ein Kelekeinu is serious, it just does something to you. And in him, it did. He passed out. And that was similar to what happened to Reb Zusha. Looking at the stars, wasn't just looking at the stars. It represented something. It represented a grandeur. And being in the presence of that grandeur, when you really feel, you know, when you're in the presence of awesomeness, of greatness, you're just not the same. It refines you, it overwhelms you, and automatically your behavior is also different. And this is the greater quality of Yira, but also the prerequisite and the foundation for one to live a life filled with Torah and mitzvahs. When one lives with that awareness, whether it's the awareness that somebody's gazing at me. Whoever is gazing, somebody's gazing, doesn't have to do with the fact that he's great. Somebody's gazing at you. It could be the janitor of the building. For all practical purposes, this man can perceive nothing of Hashem's greatness. But there's somebody looking at me. Or on a more sophisticated level, it's the greatness, the majesty, being in the presence of majesty. It inculcates in a person another perception of his own identity, and it naturally impels him to live a life permeated with the divine blueprint of life. Both in not doing certain things that we would do otherwise, the way one talks, the way one thinks, the way one behaves, both in the positive sense and in the negative sense. Have a good night and a wonderful week. What's the significance of the word batlan?
Yeah.
It could be two things. First of all, that he had the ability of bittel, of self-nullification. Or batlan in the sense that he was not affected by the opaqueness of life. He was a batlan in the sense that he was somewhat removed of the veils of life that don't allow us to experience, to see Ein Kelekeinu.
What did he see that caused him?
On a deeper level, it's possible that you're saying he's a batlan that he couldn't contain it. The Maggid contained it. He didn't faint and he couldn't contain it. I don't know. But that's how the story is told. That's how the Maggid expressed himself. What's the definition of the word?
I'm saying he stood around the way.
So David means like a loafer, unavailable.
Asara batlonim is somebody who's always available, a loafer. Yeah? Okay. We'll dava maitiv. Spit.
Yeah.
Very good. No problem. All the best. Good luck.
Have a good week.
Kamata. Same to you. You should have a happy week. Freilichavach. How do you know you reached it? You experience something. Changes the person. The fact that the Eibishter is here is real. Yeah, of course. He says before, it's on the top of 118, Shetei machshavti mekushedes b'Hashem b'keshet amitz v'chozak k'may shemekushedes b'dover gashmi shereya b'eini basar amayim b'machshavti k'neida. Becomes like as real as a davar gashmi. It becomes so real that it right away changes your attitude.
This is true.
Hamak, that's what he said. Lahamik daite begedulus Hashem l'tgei machshavte b'Hashem. It becomes real. It says like a davar gashmi. It's like you're looking at a davar gashmi. You can concentrate on it. It's pushed real. And this kayach to lekasher daite b'Hashem is b'tzad meshe rabbein. Obviously, avada. Avada. And this has to be b'chol yom. He says kol yom, b'chol yom, shag deila b'chol yom. And it will be shag deila b'chol yom. So then tikva hayira b'libay for the rest of the day also through a hisbain and kala during the rest of the day.
Actually, someone else, he brings down the Roshas.
Not somewhere else, on the Fchtan Tesamet base, no. Shir shazu en yeshava b'chol nafesh. Yesh nefesh zaka b'tiva, and there's a nefesh shvela b'tiva. That question is, how much is bainanus do you need to make it real? So he says, "Tuchal limtze b'machshavta halakuskim b'kushiyu b'chaska." It has to be limtze b'mach. When he's mitze b'machshavta halakus. What says mitze b'machshavta halakus? At the heart, the halakus is real by him. You want to know if one of them is a Neitzach Nisht? Avada, I mean...
I should help.
Ain't a Chanami.
It's...
Of course you can be deceiving yourself.
You go to higher level. It's not like you get to the floor. You never get to the floor.
Yeah. The Mien is Shav, yeah.
This man's just the Chanami. Even at the end,
ah, Avada.
So much, but there's still, it's like infinity. I was telling him, I don't know if you heard, that you never get a diploma. You go higher.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I guess that was the way I saw it. That's the way you go. You just fill it up with more.
But you see, Bepoel is looking to take saw of it. How will behave Bepoel? If you really feel somebody's looking, if you attack looking at me, I'm not going to spit. It's nish kindimian, yeah? If he has das in Andrevetter, he feels that the Eberster is taka looking at him, he's going to behave in a certain way.
So the even afeichon is, how do I feel now? Or do I feel at this moment, okay, I was minding for a half hour, okay, then I'm saying, this is the afeichon?
Yeah, the mice of a pile. It's always devin afeichon. And how you behave.
Right.
If it's not real, you're not going to do anything with Poel Mamash because of it. It doesn't mean anything.
Which is in my mind,
it says in the books. Yeah.
Right.
Can you see? But everybody can know. It says in Tanya V'hini Hashem Nitzav Olava Malecha Laretz Kvei De'Mabet Alav Bashar Alkein. Without his beininus, without das, that's what it says in Tanya V'hini Hashem Nitzav Olava. Doesn't mean anything to me. Das makes it real to me. I really feel he's nitzav alav. Or ma'abit alav. Ma'abit alav. Okay, yeah.
This is not everything.
Azeh is mashma.
Suppose you remove yourself of people that believe, and you want to run but don't believe.
Hamakag, yeah.
But
aim it's vigira. What's the word for that?
In other words, what's some new...
Ah, yeah. Interessant, was du sagst. Very interesting. Hast du gezählt?
Ich habe es sind 8 Namen und 2 Namen in Teil jeweils. Ich habe es schon gesagt. Was ist eine Sache?
En Peter kan bezig zijn met een tafel. En dat begrijp ik. We kennen het dan bij een tafel, maar een man is niet bij een tafel en dat is niet met een tafel. Vraag zijn Peter kan bezig zijn, de ganse is bij een avond. En dat moet niet kunnen jeden. En hier is het al jeden. En Peter kan bezig zijn, is ook een tafel. In Perikim Beis, he's not talking about davening. In Kutus Avedis, the Rebbe Rashab Masbid, in Perik Gimel, as Ave, kemen tzukim in Davke, the Rech Davenen. Yire, from Perikim Beis, is nishna geet zum Davenen Davke. It was bit of not ganz hariches, for was, but it's takan ander inyen. Dat kan aan de ringen. Het begon de ganse ringen van jullie. Dat is toch niet in de plakken voor dat we naar benen niet. Voor dat we in de stel naar benen niet zijn. Als je mag schaven de bromaanse raad. Maar man begon de ringen van jullie. Dus eerst een pedig met malen was gewoon als. Dus alle andere ringen hebben zich gewoon gehandigd. Als je gered wegen daven met z'n terres. Met z'n gemeen met alt. Zeg maar mit kavanas de kavana von abein in ips reishes avede vikre vashar shazira. In Perikid Zayin steht Yira. Perikid Zayin steht der erste Shuddhas no. Sh'ein karav meida davel lahapich libe metayves elam hazel avas Hashem. Meshkasa begamar ata yirim ulsa zutrisa yiva kol shakein ava. Is vi ken zayin karav elach adavu meid.
Why is this the Yisot? Yir is the Yisot. It's getting it. It's just
Yeah. But there's no meaning about the Tatov. I'm saying, is there any Bajir? Is there any Bajir?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Set punkt da. Kein in soft pere ki tasra te reich begin jida. Pramande jira, a jira a klule ba ava. Er sagt, a ava mas sateres hatten sich ich a jen von jira. Wiss ich mein. Also jida hat meide sich abzureißen von Eberschen. Aber das retten ist da. Das wir sind nicht mit Chilu an Nichol bei der Chimu, sie haben ein Tivis, sie haben ein Verschallikis, sie haben ein Tivis, 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 sie haben aber das ist der Chilu an Nichol bei Av, am Nichol bei der Chimu. Da hat er wegen Stamai, er noch ein Jire, was ist mit Soteres, ein Eitze schon Jire Shemayim, nicht Av, was ist Kehl, wenn sich ein Jire von Jira. Von anderen Dingen in Jira. So, Eitze shal Jira Shemai. Ja. Gute Nacht.
Someone has a half hour tomorrow, and he can sit and contemplate and zichanamlik and cup in them and for a half hour in their sugi, let's say, or he can learn it for 15 minutes and then talk it over with someone for 15 minutes.
No.
So according to that, if that's what you should do, you should.
So it's very young, I mean, what's. It's both good things.
Because like there's more of understanding through talking, it seems like.
Dann hat er his brain in us, nicht lernen und nicht reden.
No, I'm saying Megabit Das. So same thing Megabit Das. Indian Das is that it should come, it should be...
So he has to talk to someone over, but not only.
No, I'm saying it's a Middash of the Lamb, so is there an Indian that is a greater Indian that he should talk it over with someone than Posh is bringing us in the Machshava, that's my question.
Oh. Ich weiß nicht, steht nicht.
Aber his mashma always is bainu, this is bainu. So in the end of the it's mashma that the Dibu brings out more than his bainu. No?
No. Dibu makes the Havana better. The thing that Dibu brings out midis is another Indian. You're mixing up, but that's not going to give this Indian. It says when you're angry and you talk about it, you get angrier. When you're in love and you talk about it, the av is misgabed. As I state, you mean it's even one of the freshman tests. So maybe it's just chachma. It has gula, kas, so bleib and still. Huh? Bleib still is a meret, it's a kachten sich. That's not an amida that's mamish by his galus. You're angry. If you talk about it, you're putting, adding kerosene to the fire. Here's another inyan. The middas b'chal nish b'zgalos. The Eitzit is in Gansen buried.
So through Dibor will not bring it there.
No.
No.
You're talking in the middas b'zgalos already. Here the middas in Gansen hidden. So you need his beinonos. He doesn't say Dibor won't help b'chal not. I mean, you'll see b'muchash. He says Samach Amaralov. He says You have to bring it from Matzpuni Binisalav to your Machshava. Lahamik ba Machshavti Mashach Zman Ma Mamish. It should become a reality in your Machshava that you're thinking about it. You're thinking about the Matzpuni Binisalav. Acha Tetzi Pulasa Mekech Lapel Mamish. Avada dibur is a good zach. Ein atayr niknes ala b'dibur chavedim. You talk, you'll understand it better.
Oh, you understand it. So it brings you to avana.
Avana, good. Avada. You have to think about something you understand, but that's the chnish den inyan alein.
That doesn't come from
dibur.
No, from avana, from understanding it better. It's not das. It's bainus and it's bainus.
It's part of das, but it's not das. Das is understanding it in a personal way. Understanding it, it's real. Avada, if you don't b'chol understand it, you won't have das. Das needs chachma and bina, avada. And that's dibur, it's important dibur. So zayn hasbara kum tachtzu an avana, alama.
Correct what you're saying. Actually, there's the meaning that should be tefillah right after
that is begging.
Actually,
there's the
that once there's the
ready,
there's the
middle,
so the dibur
are filling. Okay, chet. I never saw that, but chet. But he doesn't say it before davening.
Doesn't
say Mamalev from Mbezerim. In the beginning of Mamalev, he says, before a mitzvah, before Levishas Talas Atfilin, but that's al dugma for a mitzvah. Before Esa Katena, before a mitzvah, Kamei Levishas Talas Atfilin. Why does it bring the dugma of Talas and Tfilin Apash? This is because it's one of the first mitzvahs you do in the morning. He could say before another mitzvah. But he doesn't quench davening in these prakim. There's bainanus of Yira, there's bainanus of Kabbalah Seil, upon him is nishabunim
and
davening.
But it's more than it says that
this man amukshul is as before davening. It's a state, but nisht in Tanya. It's significant that it doesn't say in Tanya, because it's not nisht in davening. Davening is meant for bunim with Aviv and with Yira. Davening is b'chalam more forbidden with Ava than with Yira. He says in some achalof amid beis that Krishma is dingin of Kabbalah sel malchus shemayim. It's dingin of Krishma Kabbalah sel, but b'cholas he doesn't associate this with davening. Ava mashenkin in Perikid beis he mentioned that the beinani during davening can experience Ava Hashem. Yiris Hashem, he doesn't say during davening you experience Yiris Hashem. Yiris Hashem, he says you have to experience every day. If it's during davening, Mateva Manoyim. Practically, this man amukshir is davening for practical considerations. Because during davening, you made a time where you're away from everything and you could think. But das hat nicht mit davenen, das hat zu tun mit der technischen Inyan, that during davening you're away from your bulbulim, you're not working. You're in shul, whatever. The meaning of Av is Pashav Abunim with davening. In Kuntus Aved, in Peter Gimel, the Rebbe Rashab is Mazabit, that Av is Abunim with davening. You did not. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's not in Gemara, it's very shittus. Ain't shit in Gemara is Shneidikiyim, there's two Harikiyim. Another shit is Shivarikiyim. So it says in Mefarshim that there's no machlekes between them. He's referring to physical heavens, astronomical heavens. And that's why he says Shnei. And the Mandamura says Shivarikim is because he's referring to spiritual heavens. That's one explanation in Mefarshim. No, Zayinikim v'Eretz. According to that Pirush. But perhaps there's other Pirushim. Chveis Nisht. What does it mean there are seven heavens? It's unclear. We don't see seven heavens, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, we don't see, you know.
Aren't they supposed to be right here?
Heaven?
Yeah, in one way you talk about
spiritual heaven.
Way up there, in one way, it, as I understand, it's right here.
Yeah, but we're talking about the physical heavens.
Yeah.
The astronomical heavens are not right here. I don't know if that's my
answer. It's so connected as if it is right here. Is that correct?
That's possible, yeah.
So it's possible, therefore.
That's physical.
It's through your experience.
Yeah.
When it says Mahalach, Mahalach took you through. What does it mean, Mahalach?
The Gemara is saying that. The lifespan of a person is 70 years. How long would it take him to go from earth to heaven? For a person to go, it would be a person, the Gemara says, a person walks 12 parsa a day, right? I think, right? That's what the Gemara is talking about. Mahalach there means how long it would take a person to walk. How long would it take a person to walk from the earth to heaven and then from one heaven to another heaven? Here. That's the cheshbon here. The seven heavens. Right. There's the thickness of every heaven. There's the spaces in between them and so on and so forth. Okay, now. An average person could walk, the Gemara says, 10 parsayas each day. 10 parsayas. Okay. A parsa is approximately Yud Beis Mil, right? Which is a little less than a mile. A person can walk 10 parsayas a day. So a 500-year journey would be how many parsayas? If you can walk 10 parsayas a day, so how much can you walk 500 years? Huh? 500 years. So it would be 1,825,000 parsayas. That would be the chashbon. If you can walk 10 parsa a day, so 500 years. 500 each year has, let's say, approximately 365 days. So with 500 years, you can walk 1,000,000. 825,000 parsayas.
That sounds like the speed of light.
1 second. How many miles is that?
10
parsa
a day.
10 a day.
And
so each year, how many parsayas? Is 10 times 365. Okay. And then multiply that 500 times, because 500 years. So you have 1,825,000 parsayas. Okay? And that's between 4 million and 5.5 million miles. In miles, a parsa is quite a few miles. The exact number is it's between 4,142,750 miles. And 5,529,750 miles. Somewhere in between there is the amount of how much a person can walk according to the Talmud's calculations during 500-year journey.
But it matters how much
you pass
it. Huh? It matters how much you
pass it. Yeah, of course. In our today's calculations, we want to know according to miles. Yeah. 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 Now, how long is this journey that he has to make till the Melech who's sitting on top of the Kisei HaKavod? He has to do 15 times a 500-year journey. Why does he have to do 15 times a 500-year journey? Because we have seven heavens, right? Plus six spaces between them. So how much is 7 and 6? 13. plus there's one space from the earth to the first heaven. From earth to the first heaven is one space, so that's how much? 14. Tosfos counts an eighth space after the seventh heaven. Tosfos says it's an eighth space. So you have a total of 15 units of 500 years. 15 units of 500 year distance. Now, if a person can, during 500 years, walk 1,825,000 parsayas, 15 times that amount would be a journey of 7,500 years. 15 times 500 would be how much? 7,500 year journey. So that would come out to 27,375,000 parsayas. A long journey. 27 million parsecs. In miles, that would be from 62,141,250 miles to 82,946,250 miles. Somewhere in between 62 million and 82 million miles is the journey from earth all the way to the king on the top of the throne. I'm sorry, not all the way to the king on top of the throne. Till the space, till the Chayas HaKadosh, till the angelic beings. From earth till the angelic beings, you're dealing with approximately 82 million miles. And then you actually have to start multiply the legs of these angelic beings are equivalent to it all. To the 7,500 year journey. And the next one is equivalent, and so on. So he's telling Nebuchadnezzar, you live 70 years and you're going to reach it. Whatever the meaning of the Gemara is, obviously you're not dealing with a physical journey here. The angelic beings are not physical creatures. They don't have physical legs that it takes 7,500 years to climb. Obviously this has to be understood in a more symbolic, metaphoric way. But the idea to Nebuchadnezzar was that a human being has to remember who he is. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, you remember you're in the presence of Hashem. And you appreciate what Hashem is. Hashem fills all these worlds. Totally transcends them and fills these worlds. He created them and He fills them. From earth all the way to the highest levels of the throne of glory. And Hashem is in your presence at this moment. So you're living not in the presence of mediocrity. You're living in the presence of greatness. And that just does something to a person. If you take it seriously, it does something to you. It's a different perspective on life. It's a much more mature perspective. You have to realize the moment you're living in and the location you're living in. You're living in the presence of that godless. And as the Rambam says, you melt away. You're blown away. You're overwhelmed by it. You obtain it, and that affects how you behave. In that presence, you just don't do certain things. And if you're conscious of that presence 24 hours a day, it changes your behavior. It refines you. That's the point. It's an interesting calculation of the Gemara. The thickness of each heaven is a journey of 500 years. That's why we have 15 units of 500 years, yeah? That's why we have 15 units. The Gemara discusses it there at length. You look through, learn through that piece of Gemara, Chagigadav Gimel. You can take an art scroll Gemara. They have all these calculations there, huh?
I thought it was a good answer.
I hear.
but I guess we got to keep going. Mitzvahs all the time.
Yeah.
So, what you're saying is, you don't need to know that as long as you know that the mitzvahs are
waiting. I don't know about you, but that's difficult with these high numbers.
We all do.
What?
Only Nebuchadnezzar didn't.
Really?
Only Nebuchadnezzar didn't, but we do.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.